Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to an encore presentation of Living Smart and Well, the best of Inez Bracey. Inez is currently traveling the world, and each week she will keep you up to date on her adventures when she lets you know where in the world is Inez at the beginning of each show. We hope you enjoy this encore presentation of Living Smart and Well, and now here is Inez Bracey.
Good afternoon. This is Inez with Where in the World is Inez? I am still in Makati, Manila, Philippines, having a blast. It is just a most amazing city. And one of the things that happened that I found to be truly amazing is the other day I was in the lobby of my condo. And as I started out the door, this young man came up to me and he had his phone in his hand and he said, "Wow, would you look at this? Is this you?" It was a picture, and yes, I said, "Yeah, that's me." He happened to be a guest at my nephew's wedding and he had taken a picture. He said he saw me and he wanted to come over, but he had to flip through his phone to find out because he didn't want to seem brash. Now, there are probably at least 2 million people here in the Philippines. And I would say, I don't know, thousands of condos. What are the chances that this young man and I would be in the same place at the same time? It just blows my mind. Amazing. So he was a delightful, his name is Neil, so a delightful young man to talk with. And he's not even staying here in the building. He just happened to walk in to check it out. How awesome is that? And then, of course, I decided that I would go to the park that's not too far from the condo. And if you go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/inez.bracey, you will be able to see the pictures that I have been posting and some of the comments that I've been making. Another thing that's been really interesting is riding in a cab. I mentioned this on Facebook because the other day when I was going to Intramuros, I was in this taxi and the driver had a rosary. So he kept touching his rosary and crossing himself. So I'm sitting in the back and I'm thinking, well, if that's what he's doing, I better start doing some praying too. Hopefully he's including me in his prayer. I got there safely and got back safely, but it was really funny when I think about it because I thought when I was in New York last August riding in a cab that it was just horrible. I just could not believe it. Well, I got to tell you something. The drivers in Manila, Makati, and they tell me all over the Philippines, are a lot different than in New York because these drivers, sometimes I think they're not even looking where they're going. They just keep their head straight and they just go. So yes, it's an experience for me. I've gone to several museums, and the one that I want to tell you about now is the one that has a shrine to Jose Rizal. Jose was a physician, a practicing physician. He also had become an expat. He lived in Spain and so many other countries. But when he came back to the Philippines, he was accused of sedition, and that is causing an uprising for people to throw over the government. That was not what he was doing. Actually, he was just working with people in an advocacy position, asking them to have a voice in who they are and what they're doing. But that is not what he was accused of. And he was imprisoned at this fort, and after about 30-something days, they executed him, which immediately put him as a hero in the Philippines. It's an interesting, interesting story. So this has been Inez in Makati, Philippines, having a blast. I will be back next week with another update with Where in the World is Inez. Go out and create a fantabulous week. Be sure to go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/inez.bracey, and make some comments and like what you see. Are you ready to pamper yourself with luxury that is within reach? As a loyal listener,
You can now get cash back, rebates of up to 30%, and discounts up to 60% while shopping at over 1,100 of your favorite stores. You deserve it. Let yourself go wild at loveloyaltysuperstore.com, where paying retail price is a thing of the past. I've experienced this fabulous internet savings mall and highly recommend it to you. Be sure to visit loveloyaltysuperstore.com to enjoy shopping in a whole new way at loveloyaltysuperstore.com.
Good afternoon, and this and welcome to the Inez Bracey Show, Living Smart and Well. Today I have on my show a natural health expert. Now, each week I say, be sure to get out a paper and a pencil, because my guests always give you such great tips and nuggets. And if you just take one nugget and use it throughout the week, you will be amazed at what you can do with your life. So today, my guest started his career in stand-up comedy. He toured professionally for nearly a decade. He never even envisioned that he would one day teach the world how to sleep, poop, and even lose weight. And then on Valentine's Day 2004, he lost his voice and it didn't come back. After 23 doctors couldn't figure out the problem, he decided it was time to dig for his own answers. Took him a while to figure that out, huh? So 8 years later, not only did he figure out his own issues, he also happened upon hidden information about how to improve countless other health problems. So beyond working with many celebrity clients, he's on the executive board of the Coalition for Health Education and teaches monthly webinars about nutrition to doctors, nutritionists, and other healthcare professionals from more than 35 countries. My guest today, T.C. Hill, also known as Tony Hill, has started a documentary called Why Am I So Fat? And if you go to whyamisofat.com at the end of the show, you'll be able to see what he's talking about. Tony, thank you so much for being on the Living Smart and Well show. I am so delighted that you're here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And since I lost my voice yesterday, too, maybe we'll just hum songs or something. But, you know, I grew up in Florida, and now I live in Los Angeles, where I'm just a warm kid. But for the documentary, we just got back yesterday from Colorado, where we were with Bill Phillips for Body for Life. And then we went to New York and Boston and interviewed all the big fitness and weight loss magazines. And it was cold.
So you were in cold weather, too. I see why.
Yeah, no. I'm not built for that.
And nor am I, but sometimes we got to do what we got to do, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, you wrote this book, Kick Your Fat in the Nuts. Why did you come up with this title, and why did you write this book?
Well, when I was looking for my own answers, I really went psycho. And that's like I shut myself in my house, and I just read nonstop for years, and I was just digging for answers. And so many of the books were just so boring. It was just, it was hard to keep digging when it was so just boring and scientific. And so I decided when I was learning this stuff that I was going to write a series of books that would teach people how to look at their own body and understand their body chemistry and how their physiology is operating. And I would write those books in an entertaining way that would you could laugh while you learn, and I could bring my stand-up comedy into teaching people about health. And that's where I came up with the Kick It in the Nuts series. And we have other books out, like Kick Menstrual Cramps in the Nuts and a couple of other titles that are coming out soon. But the idea was just to entertain while we educate.
And you know something, I think that's really a great idea, because when people start to laughing, they remember things more.
Right.
And I got to tell you something, Jordan, I have your book right here in front of me, and it is definitely worth getting it, because I like the way you break things up in here,
mm-hmm.
and I like the way you explain what's really going on. From the very beginning of the book, you start to explain what's really going on, so when you I think that by doing it that way, it's easier to follow, and it keeps me engaged. So thank you so much for writing this book.
Oh, well, you're
now,
welcome.
There are diets out there. If you were to number them, they'd probably go from here to Los Angeles and back. So why is it that people cannot agree on the best diet for weight loss?
Well, the reason it's such a huge, hot mess in the diet industry is because all these diets that you see, the crazy thing is, is that they're all right, they're all correct, and they're all wrong. The basic reason that a person makes a diet and they sell it and it works for somebody is because there is no diet that will work for every human being. It will never exist because we all process foods differently. So since we process foods differently, there will never be anything that works for everybody. So the confusion sets in because somebody will put together a diet and it'll work for a handful of people, so they'll think, oh, this must be the answer. So let's get this out there. And then people will use it and they'll lose 20 or 30 pounds. So then their friend gets excited and they use it and they gain 20 pounds. So, and then that person that gained 20 pounds, the problem is they end up thinking, well, I must be just meant to be fat. I'm not meant to lose weight. I'm just stuck this way and there's something wrong with me because the diet worked for my friend, but it didn't work for me.
And you know, you're right about that. And you just mentioned something about we process food differently. Now, we all have the same systems in our body. What do you mean we process food differently?
Well, it's actually quite a few different levels, and we do all have the same systems in our body, but it turns out that they're not all working for all of us. Some of us are having some major problems, not only digesting what we're eating, but processing different types of nutrients. For example, the problem is people are always arguing over, should it be low carb? Should it be low fat? Should it be low calorie, you know? Should it be vegetarian? Should it be all protein? They fight over this, but the fact is that some people can't process proteins correctly because they can't break them down. Their digestive system doesn't have the appropriate amount of acid to break down those proteins. Other people can't process fats correctly because the bile is not flowing correctly and they can't emulsify those fats. Other people have an insulin level that is too weak and it's difficult for them to process carbohydrates. So you can see that there's a variation from person to person. And if someone could not process fats, but they went on a high-fat diet with low carbohydrates, they could not be successful because those fats that don't get processed can turn rancid and toxic in the body. And one thing that people have a hard time understanding is they don't know that they look at fat as, I ate too much fat and so now I'm fat. And that's just not the case. Our body fat does not normally come from fat that we eat. It comes from the foods that we're eating are triggering our body to store fat for fuel later. And the thing that most people don't know is that the body will also use fat cells to store toxins. So not only the toxins that we eat from all these chemicals and the processed food that we eat that's not even really food, but even if we're eating good food, even if we're eating organic, grass-fed, the best food that you could possibly eat, if the body can't digest that food and break the food down into vitamins, amino acids, nutrients, minerals, if it can't break those foods down into the elemental parts that the body uses, then that undigested food will rot and ferment in our digestive tract, and that can create chemicals and toxins that are harmful to the body. So to protect the body, the body takes those harmful chemicals and will store them in fat cells to pull them out of the bloodstream, because if those toxins stayed in the bloodstream too long, we would literally die. And the body's not going to let that happen. So a lot of times our fat is basically saving our life because it's pulling toxins out of the bloodstream and putting them in a safe storage place where the goal is usually to remove it later when the coast is clear. But if a person isn't digesting anything that they're eating correctly, or they're eating all these chemical-ridden, non-food processed junk, then the coast is never clear. So the body just keeps storing junk and fat until our pants don't fit anymore.
You're right about that. Now, one of the things that you talk about is the obesity epidemic, and you say that a major cause behind it is starvation, feeling that you're hungry, feeling that you're starving. How can that be possible when you'd be so obese?
Right, and I whenever I talk to a crowd, and somebody's always like, look, I'm looking at the guy right next to me, and he's 400 pounds, and he has a bucket of chicken in his hand right now. How can he be starving? What I mean is that his body is starving, and it's starving because it's getting food, but it's not getting the nutrients that it's looking for. And that can be for a few different reasons. It can either be because the person's digestion is not working correctly, like we just talked about. They can eat the food, but if you can't break it down into the usable nutrients, then the body's not really seeing that nutrition. And the other problem is that our food source is not good anymore. It's lacking the minerals and nutrients that we used to find in our food 60, 70 years ago. Our farming methods are despicable, and the way that we fertilize with all these chemicals, it kills the soil, and it causes some problems that I talk about in the book that are a little more complicated than we'll get into today. But basically, there's bacteria in the soil that helps the minerals make the jump from the soil into the plant, and from the plant into the animal, and into us. So that's how those minerals get into our system. We are not built to just pick up dirt and eat it and get the minerals out of that. That doesn't work for a human. A plant can do that. But when we fertilize with all these chemicals, we kill the bacteria that's in the soil, so the mineral can't make the jump into the food. So not only are people eating food that is not food when they eat lunch out of a vending machine, or they're eating some processed muffin for breakfast, but when they're trying to eat real food, and they're going to their local grocery store, and they're buying some broccoli, and they're trying to do the right thing and cook themselves something good, it's lacking the nutrition that we used to find in our food. So the result is it's a body that needs nutrients to function, but we're not giving the body what it needs. So let's say that this 400-pound guy, let's say he eats a cheeseburger, but he can only properly digest 10% of what he's eating, just because his digestion is not functioning properly. Well, in order to function as a human, if he's only able to access 10% of those nutrients, doesn't he need to eat 10 times as much in order to give his body the fuel and the tools that it needs to operate in a manner that it can function correctly? So a lot of times these super obese individuals are starving. They can't stop eating because the body needs more and more, and it's just not getting enough.
And they're still not getting the nutrients, and you know, you're so right about that. Now, in your book, you talk about overweight vegetarians, and I remember I have a cousin who, we were going to this, have a meeting, and she kept telling me she's vegetarian. So when I met her, I was expecting to see this tiny, petite little woman.
Yeah.
And she was huge, and I was like, almost swallowed my tongue. I had to catch myself from saying, I thought you were vegetarian. And in your book, you kind of explain why that can be. So just because you're vegetarian doesn't necessarily mean that you're healthy either.
Right, and especially now that veganism and vegetarianism has turned into a market. All of these companies have jumped on board that market, and they've created products that it turns out they're just processed junk, but they still can put vegan or vegetarian on the label. So if a person is vegan, they think that that's a healthy option. But it turns out that it's just garbage, and it's usually filled with a lot of sugar or starchy carbohydrates. And the other problem with the vegetarian lifestyle is that when they're looking for protein, it usually turns out to be a lot of soy. And soy has the ability to mimic estrogen in the body and cause problems for some people to eat. Some people do okay on soy. Some people do better on fermented types of soy. But the bottom line is that when you're eating a lot of soy protein, it's all processed. It's not real food. It's not how it came out of the ground like that. And there's usually a lot of chemicals in there, and that can cause problems. But the other major issue with an overweight vegetarian is that when you remove animal protein from your diet, you can often eat a lot of this other fake vegetarian stuff that's higher in carbohydrate and will spike your insulin levels. The big piece of the puzzle that a lot of people are not taught is that insulin controls how much your body stores fat and how much it burns fat. So there are other hormones that are involved in that process, but just the easy explanation is when you eat carbohydrates or sugar, and that sugar raises blood sugar levels, insulin then rises up along with that blood sugar so that sugar can be swept out of the bloodstream and into the cells so that it can be used. Now, the problem is that while insulin levels are high, the body cannot access stored fat for fuel. So let's say we eat a muffin and our blood sugar spikes up. Insulin will spike up too to bring that blood sugar down, but the blood sugar will come down relatively quickly. But insulin takes much longer to come down. So when blood sugar comes down, that's when we get that crash where, oh my gosh, I need a snack. I need a candy bar or some chips or something, because the blood sugar crashed back down, but the insulin is still high, so we're out of blood sugar now, or it's low, and the body still can't access stored fat for fuel, so we have no fuel source, so we crash. Whereas if a person ate something that didn't spike their insulin as high, like some broccoli and maybe eggs or something like that, just a good vegetable source with a protein with some lower carbohydrates, then the insulin doesn't go so high so that the body can still access stored fat. When the glucose is burned up, now the body doesn't crash because it's not out of fuel, because it can access stored fat. We're meant to burn both glucose and stored fat for fuel, and leaving your insulin at a steady state allows the body to do that. So a lot of vegetarians, by removing the protein sources from animals, you kind of restrict your choices. So they end up eating a lot more, you know, potatoes or bread and starchy carbohydrates that spike insulin, and that's why they gain weight.
I want to talk about two things. What do you think is more important, nutrition or exercise?
Such a great question. And it's such, people really have it wrong. Keep in mind that I'm a guy that makes his living from training people in the gym. I help them work out. And I'm going to tell you right now that it's not where the results come from. So working out is not what helps you get the results you desire. It's really about the nutrition and about understanding how your body is operating. Do you process fats better? Do you process carbohydrates better? Are you breaking down proteins correctly? When digestion is not working correctly, there are things you can do to give it a boost, to jumpstart it so that you can start making the proper amount of HCl, and you can help your bile flow correctly, and you can add enzymes to foods that don't contain enzymes anymore. All these things that expand your ability to include other foods in your diet successfully. Instead of having to, a lot of people have these food allergies and they end up, they can only eat five or six things and they have to leave the planet to eat lunch because they're allergic to everything else. But if you can fix digestion, then some of those things can be reintroduced into the diet and they do okay. But the working out is important to do, and it really does give you a big boost. But the main thing I'd like people to understand is that you're not going to overtrain a bad diet. You know, you can't make up for the junk that you're eating by going to the gym and working out for 3 hours. It doesn't work that way. It's really not a calories in, calories out formula like people want you to believe, because if you set yourself up to where your body can't access stored fat, you're not going to burn fat even if you work out for 3 hours. It almost does the opposite.
Well, that's good news. Now, for those many people, I should say, have decided they want to lose weight, what are three things that someone might do if that's their desire to lose weight?
Well, there's three things, and I'm going to give a bonus one, too. But the three things, number one is to make sure that your digestion is working correctly. Number two is to eat real food. It's try and get rid of some of this junk that you're putting in your body. And then number three is find a way to give your body what it's asking for. Cravings will knock out a diet every time, but if you can give your body the minerals and nutrients that it needs, it won't scream for those cravings that you get. And the bonus thing that you need to do is get support. It's been proven that support raises success ratios incredibly, And if you go to our movie website, which is whyamisofatmovie.com, you can sign up for our free weight loss community where you can ask questions and you can see where other people have asked questions and you can post your success and have people cheer you on. And even on the bad days, you know, you can have people say, you know, don't worry about that. You're doing great. Just move on to the next right thing to do. So support is a big key. And if you don't use ours, find support somewhere. But that's why we set up this free community, is just because it doesn't matter what you do, if you can get the right support, you'll find your way eventually.
You know, that is so very true. But you said something about eat real food. In the next minute, can you give me a couple of real foods that people can eat? Because I'll tell you something, Tony. Some people don't know what real food is because they've never had it.
It is. It's amazing. But here's how you figure out if it's real food. If it grew out of the ground, or if it grew off of a tree that grew out of the ground, or if it came from an animal that peed on the tree while it was standing on the ground next to the tree. You know, it's things that are real. It's not things that you buy in a vending machine. It's not things that when you read the ingredients, you can't pronounce any of. It's when you shop at the store, you shop on the outside circle of the store, not in the middle aisles where all the processed food is.
Wow. T.C. Hale, thank you so much for being on my show, the Living Smart and Well Show. And your book, Kick Your Fat in the Nuts, The Natural Guide to How Your Body Works and How to Work Your Body. I'm loving this because it does open up some questions and answers questions that I had. And what I like about what you said about cravings, when we really get in tune with our body, it will tell us exactly what we need, and it does eliminate cravings. So that's really great. Also, you can find TC at whyamisofatmovie.com. And this is also a website where you can get support. That's very important, as TC was saying. Whatever we're doing in life, when we try to go it alone, sometimes it's easier to stop, especially if you go out and you have this wonderful meal and you start feeling guilty. You shouldn't have eaten that. It's making you feel bad. You can always start again. It doesn't mean that you have to stop. Is that right, TC?
Yeah, just do the next right thing. That's all you have to do.
The next right thing. I love that. So whyamisofatmovie.com, and join the community there. It's a free community with lots and lots of information, lots of tips. And believe it or not, some of the things that somebody else did and they make a post about it, we can all learn from that. And it can help us to further where we are going with this weight loss. And having this obesity epidemic, we've got to do something because we're killing ourselves with the foods that we eat. Now, this has been the INS Bracey Show, Living Smart and Well, with T.C. Hale, also known as Tony Hale. His book, Kick Your Fat in the Nuts, and the movie, WhyAmISoFatMovie.com. When you listen to this, be sure you have your paper with you so that you can take one nugget. He said a lot today about how we eat, what we eat, and how our bodies really depend on our digestion. And when we look into that, you're going to be amazed at what happens. So whatever he said that resonates with you, be sure you write it down, follow it for the rest of the week, and see your life transform. We will be back next week with another guest. Go out and create a fantabulous week.
Remember to go to LoveLoyaltySuperstore.com. L-O-V-E, LoyaltySuperstore.com today to experience the fun and the joy of shopping from the comfort of your home at 1,100 of your favorite national merchants and receive up to 30% cash rebates and 60% discounts on your purchases at LoveLoyaltySuperstore.com. Be sure to scroll down and download the Cashback Finder at LoveLoyaltySuperstore.com.